All right, we want to welcome you to our Wednesday evening Bible study. This is sort of a version of how we got the Bible, only this is about today about Bible translations. We're also going to talk about a couple Bible apps, and then also we're going to talk about study Bible features, what you can access in a study Bible. So this is all stuff that we can use today and help people and give people good advice about how to study their Bible. There's a lot of controversy, as we all know, about Bible translations. Just about everybody has their favorite. And many people believe that the King James Version is the only true version of the Bible. And even though I just love the King James Version, I still have a lot of respect for the other translations. Now, there's a few modern translations that I don't care for, and I'll mention them and why. But we're going to look at these different translations. I have several in this book, the Rose Book of Bible Charts, Volume 2, and they explain the differences between them. So we'll look at the very first one, which would be, of course, the King James. It was written in 1611. Then the current edition was revised in 1769.
Say that again.
The current edition was revised in 1769. And it's on a read, they give the reading grade level. Now this would be, when I say grade level, this would be like, it says 12, that would be for seniors in high school. So seniors and above would be the grade level. That's how they do that. It had 54 translators. And of course they were appointed by King James the First of England. The purpose of it was in response to Protestant concerns of inaccuracies in earlier versions. And so there was criticism about some of the earlier ones. The King James wasn't the first English translation. And so they were trying to correct what they felt were errors. It says this is the most widely printed and distributed version of the Bible. It's used for devotional reading and Bible study by adults who prefer the English found in older versions. And like we were talking about earlier here, before I started this recording, a lot of people like the King James for certain things. Like I always liked it when reading scripture around Christmas time because that's what I grew up with and I just like the way it flows. And some people like the poetry sections of the Bible because it just kind of sounds neat to have those, that old English. Okay. The next one that I have, and I'm kind of listing these as my favorites on down. My favorite is, and what I'm using right now, is the New King James Version. The New King James Version. And a lot of people say, well, what's the difference? Well, it's a little bit easier to read, and that's why instead of having a number 12 grade level, it's a number 9 grade level, like ninth grade. It's derived from the King James Version. It's from the Masoretic text, the Old Testament is. And we talked about that last week. The Masoretes were these people who were very, very meticulous in how they recorded things and how they copied everything. Masoretic text is a very good, reliable text. That's the Old Testament. And then the New Testament came from something. And this one, you don't really necessarily have to remember the name, but it's called the Textus Receptus. And that's Latin, that's why it sounds so funny. But that's also a very good text to go from. And the reason for it is to produce a modern language translation that would maintain the structure and beauty of the King James. Another note, it says, it indicates where other Greek and Hebrew manuscripts differ. It's used for devotional reading and Bible study by adults who prefer the English found in older versions. So the main thing is, instead of pronouns like thee and thou, it would change it to like you and I or them or her or whatever. It just changes pronouns and then other words, like as was talked about earlier, it might say someone drew nigh to someone else, which in the King James would say came near them or drew near to them. So you get basically King James, but in a more modern English that we speak. And I think this is a really good thing, especially for youth. You know, if you're bringing someone comes to Christ and you're trying to mentor them and steer them toward a Bible, if you give them a King James, they're going to be confused because they don't know anything about Old English, and it may cause them to, you know, kind of be put off by the Bible. And so the New King James, more modern, it flows better, they can understand it. I think it's great for kids too. Then my second favorite one is the Amplified version. The Amplified, very nice. You know, it says in the scripture we're not to take anything away or add to the Bible, but the Amplified doesn't add to the teaching. It doesn't add to the teaching. It better explains the teaching by defining the word. So if you're reading in the scriptures and you see a word and you don't know what that is, instead of having to go and look it up in the dictionary, it will have the meaning right there in parentheses. And so it's just a very convenient way of explaining meanings of words. And also, it might explain different backgrounds and cultures and stuff like that. So the Amplified is a very good Bible. My third favorite, this might not be yours, this is just mine, the American Standard Version. American Standard Version, let me find it in here. I've got a whole bunch here to look at. There's the New American Standard. Here we go, American Standard Version. Grade level doesn't say. It was written in 1901. It said here, American Standard has earned a reputation as being very true to the Greek and Hebrew texts, very formal, used for serious Bible study. So if you really want to get into it, and oh, by the way, I did forget one thing. As I go over these, I want to tell you whether it's a word-for-word translation or whether it's a thought-for-thought translation, or whether it's balanced. So there's some translations that are a little bit of both, some word for word and thought for thought. And then there's one that's a paraphrase. So far, all of them we've looked at are word for word translations. The New King James, the Amplified, and the American Standard. Okay. Now the next one is one that I had for years, the NIV, the New International Version. New International Version is currently the best-selling Bible version. Now, remember, it said that the King James has sold the most, and that's over all time. But this is currently the one that sells the most. It's used by teenagers and adults for personal devotions, worship, and Bible study, and the grade level 7. So 7th graders should be able to read this and understand it, and that's what's really good about it. Its purpose was to provide a modern translation that would be acceptable to many denominations. I'm not going to go through, there's more than that. I'm not going to touch on all of them. Then you have the New Century Version. New Century.
Never even heard that before.
Yeah, the NCV, New Century Version. The purpose was to make a readable version that uses modern terms such as measurements and geographic names. So, in the New Century Version, instead of saying the ark was so many cubits, it would say feet. You know, automatically, so you don't have to look that up. Yeah. And geographic names, instead of reading what the name was back then, they give you the modern name of what it's called today. Like, there's certain areas.
Like Asia Minor.
And then Syria was Turkey, yeah. Part of Turkey. So it does that for you, which is good. And then you have the English Standard. The, let's see, ESV, English Standard Bible. On that. Here we go. ESV, it's very theologically conservative, inclusive language is typically avoided, used by teenagers and adults for serious Bible study. That inclusive language was where they use different terms And it's kind of really, when you think of inclusive language, you think of like where the King James or the New King James might always use a male term for certain things, they might use a different word for it. It's kind of liberal in a way. It's not one of my favorites because of that reason only. But still, it's a good solid translation. Now, there's two that I do not like. One is the New American Bible, and the reason I don't like it, probably shouldn't say this, but it's for Catholics. It's the official translation used in U.S. Catholic Church Mass. It includes the Apocrypha. That's why I don't care for it, because it's including books that shouldn't be in there. It's widely used by Roman Catholics of all ages for daily devotional reading and Bible study. So you would see this in the Catholic Church. You would see this in the Episcopalian Church. And it may, perhaps even the Lutherans, I'm not sure. But and that's the main reason. It's got extra books that shouldn't be in there. So I don't agree with that. And then one more that I don't like is the RSV, the Revised Standard. Find that one real quick. Revised Standard Version. Here we go. Okay, this is why I don't like it. It says, for instance, this translation changed words such as virgin to young woman. This version was criticized by conservatives.
Sure. That's totally different.
Yeah, instead of saying Jesus was born of a virgin, uh-huh. Jesus was born of a young woman. So that takes the miracle away.
Yeah.
Takes the miracle away.
It could have been not a virgin.
Right. So that's one of those modern translations you want to stay away from.
Yeah.
Okay. So those are the only translations. I mean, that's enough to confuse people anyway. There was some more I just didn't want to get into. They're not really popular ones. Now, if you like to look at software on a phone, there are two really good Bible apps that you can download on your phone for free. It won't cost a thing. One is called Bible Gateway, Gatewy, and the other one is called the Blue Letter Bible. And these...
What was your second one?
The Blue Letter Bible. And they're very similar. These things are amazing. You can have them, you can do a search and find things very quickly. You can hit a button and it'll start scrolling. And so you don't have to keep moving it down as you read. It'll scroll whatever speed you want. And then you can hit another button and a voice will come on and read it to you. Which is great if you're in a car or something like that. You want to study.
Now, these apps would have the King James on
yeah,
there?
Oh, yes, a good point. Okay. I counted there's 36 different translations in the Blue Letter Bible. 36.
Yeah, because he was asking me about
it. And some of them I've never heard of before, you know. So if you're looking at something and it's a kind of a controversial verse and you're thinking, I wonder what that says in this translation. Bang, you can just click on it and it'll switch right to that one. So those things, they also give you, I think you can look up definitions, you can add notes to them, you can highlight them.
Oh, that is different than what I have.
Yeah, it's really...
So it's Bible Gateway and
Blue Bible Letter Gateway Bible. And Blue Letter Bible. There may be other ones, but those are the two probably most popular. And I remember I had mentioned there's word for word, there's balance, thought for thought. Remember I mentioned there was a paraphrase? That's the message. I forgot to mention that. The message. Yeah, that's a paraphrase. And to me, they...
I don't like it that well.
Yeah, I don't either. I think they take a little bit too many liberties with their paraphrasing sometimes.
I've used it when I absolutely, totally cannot figure out what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll read through it just to get the gist and then go back to
yeah,
I'm
that,
hearing.
I see. Well, that you could use it for that.
How do you do that?
Yeah, yeah. Nothing wrong with that. Okay, now let's look at study Bible features. First of all, let's look at the types of study Bibles. Don't confuse a type of study Bible with a translation. You know, like the Life Application Bible is not a translation. It is a type of study Bible. It's just got its own way of doing things. There's one called the Comparative Study Bible. There's one called the Evangelical Study Bible. There's the MacArthur Study Bible, John MacArthur's. And then there's some that just says Study Bible, like I had an NIV Study Bible. And now I have an NKJV Study Bible. Yeah, and so...
New Spirit-Filled Life Bible, NKJV. I guess it's not
the Life Application Study Bible.
Yes, they're very good. And I have a couple of them. I have these two. But just let's look at some of the features. And whoever may be listening, I mean, if you're just reading a regular Bible, you're really, really missing out because the study Bibles are so valuable. They have pictures, like, so you're studying Paul's letter to the churches in Revelation. It will show you a picture of that, the ruins left after that church. Or you're talking about Jerusalem, it might show you a picture of Jerusalem. Then it might show you a map of Jerusalem. So you have maps kind of all through the Bible. As you read it, you'll see a map of whatever you're reading about. And then at the end of the Bible is a whole bunch of maps, one after the other. And it'll be different time periods, you know, the maps of Genesis or the maps of the Exodus or the maps of the United Kingdom or the maps of Judah, the maps of Israel after the kingdom split. And then it might say the map when Jesus was preaching, you know, doing his ministry. And then there might be a map that shows Paul's missionary journeys and that sort of thing. So a lot of things you can visualize. It really helps to be able to visualize. Then they have charts and they have diagrams. They have notes. And in some places, the notes are, you almost got more notes than you have text. And the notes are very good to explain things. The only caution about the notes are, whereas the text of the Bible is the Word of God, it's the inspired Word of God, the notes are not. The notes are written by man, and it's their opinion, it's their interpretation. And one study Bible may interpret a certain verse different than another study Bible. So just remember, even though it's a study Bible, some things you take with a grain of salt because it's not inspired. I'm not saying it's wrong or right, but just know that just because it's in the notes doesn't mean it's 100% accurate. But they're very, very good. And then you have references, Bible references. Like you'll read a verse and say, I remember reading something similar to that someplace else, and you look down and there's a reference that tells you where that verse is. You can just go right to that verse. That's really nice. And related to that is a concordance. Most study Bibles, I would say all study Bibles, have a concordance in the back. Well, what's a concordance? Well, you might take the word cubit, or you might take the name of a person like Moses, and you look that up in the concordance, and it gives you every single piece of scripture, every single verse where you find that word.
Yeah.
Every single one. If it's a complete concordance. They're called exhaustive concordances. An exhaustive concordance has every single word, like and thee and but and now and for. That's an exhaustive concordance. But a regular concordance doesn't have all those. They just have the main words. And then they also have a subject index. Say you want to look up evangelism, or you want to look up prophecy, or the subject might be Jesus himself, and you look that up and it will tell you where you can find scripture about that topic. Maybe you want to look up tithing or something like that, and there's all the scripture that has something to do with that. And then we have study Bibles will have culture and background information. You know, when there's something in there that, you know, the authors were writing back 2,000 years ago, and we don't understand a phrase, there's the culture. It says, well, this is how they did it. You know, maybe they were making wine, you know, and treading the the grapes and all that. It tells you how they did that, what they did. So it's really good to have that, the background info and the culture info. And then another thing is lists. It'll give you lists. Like this particular one has a list of all the parables in the Bible and where you find them. It also has a list of all the miracles. All the miracles in the Bible. It'll have a list of all the prophecies of Jesus in the Bible. Everything that was said about Jesus that was fulfilled, it'll have that in the Bible. This one also has a, and I'm sure yours does too, this one has a table of weights and measures. You know, because you've got like the drachma and the shekel and the talent and all these different things. And it will tell you, it will relate that to modern day. Let's see. I'm trying to think if that's... So these are all things, if you don't have a study Bible, you really should get one, because people that study the scriptures, a lot of people say, well, how did that person figure that out? How did they know that? Well, generally they've got it from a study Bible or from a Bible app. You know, if you're looking at Bible apps, like I said, you can pick from a bunch of translations, you can make notes, you can do a search, a really quick search, just type in something. Maybe you can't remember where a scripture is, but you can remember two words from it. Then you put a quote, and you put those two words in another quote, and then it will take you all the places in the Bible where those two words are together like that. And you just go to it, and you can look down through and find it. So when I was preaching Sunday, you know, I mentioned that the biggest problem we have, in my opinion, the biggest problem we have in our church today, or churches, all the churches, is biblical illiteracy. People just simply, they're Christians, but they don't know the scriptures. And it doesn't make any sense, because if you have a hobby, you research it and you become an expert at it. You become, you know, really, really good at knowing all this. Yet we have so many Christians that don't know the Bible. They trust their pastor. The pastor could be wrong. The Sunday school teacher could be wrong. The Apostle Paul said, hey, I want you to research. I want you to look through the scriptures and make sure I'm telling you the right thing. Because he wanted the people to have an inquisitive mind. He wanted them to look things up. So it's very important that individual Christians know their scriptures. And a lot of people say, well, I just can't understand it, or I have questions. Great. If you have questions, go ask somebody. Go talk to somebody. You know, we're supposed to build each other up. Paul talks about the word edification in the churches all the time. Well, one way we can edify each other is to sit, like we're doing right now, have Bible studies. And then if you have a question, you can talk it out and try to figure out the best answer. So, okay. Hopefully this has been helpful. I hope it has. And next week we'll probably get on to another topic. So let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this information today. We thank you for study Bibles. We thank you for Bible apps. We thank you for all this wonderful technology that we have today. And we know, Lord, that technology can be used for good or bad, and we pray that we can always use it for good. And we just pray that people will find these things very, very helpful and help them to explain the scriptures to them. In Jesus' name, amen.